Patience is wearing thin.
COVID.
Bring out your dad.
Put the fucking mask on your fucking face.
We will eliminate you.
Vaccinate.
We will eliminate you.
Vaccinate.
We will eliminate you.
COVID.
God did answer our prayers.
He made them come up with a vaccine.
Vaccinate.
Bad idea.
I need you to be my apostles.
Bring out your dad.
Hello, greetings, ladies and gentlemen. This is Free Your Consciousness. I'm Doug Michael. My website, DougMichaelTruth.com. It is October 19th, 2021 at the time of this recording. Thank you once again for joining me. And as always, it is nice to be spending time again with you. Today, I'd like to talk about the sabotage of the global supply chain, which is what we see occurring. I'm starting to notice this everywhere I go. Now, the shelves aren't completely bare yet, but they're really low. In fact, I was in a Walmart Supercenter this past Sunday. Not proud of it. I needed to get something. And I would estimate every department, grocery department, housewares, all of it, is, I would guess, about half capacity, halfway stocked up. Now, we've got, I don't know, close to 100 container ships off the coast of California. It's estimated about 500,000 fully loaded containers that cannot unload and get to the truck lines and get to the supply lines. So we're seeing this breakdown. This is war. We're in an economic war. This is being done deliberately to sabotage the global supply chain, ladies and gentlemen. Now, here in America especially, we rely on truckers, so if the transportation lines break down, you're going to see it eventually in the stores. You're not going to be able to get supplies. And we're seeing this. This is a deliberate sabotage of the supply chain, ladies and gentlemen. Now, a container that used to cost $2,500 before the pandemic now costs $25,000 for the same load. That is going to cause massive skyrocketing in prices, massive hyperinflation. Now, we've heard these politicians and these servants of this consortium, you know, the Faucis and the Gateses of the world, use the term dark winter, you know, like this Orwellian buzzword they've been using. Dark winter, get ready for a dark winter. I believe we're going to see energy shortages too, because with that supply chain breakdown, coal can't get transported or natural gas. In the beginning of the year, Lord Biden,
our patience is wearing thin,
deliberately with the stroke of a pen, shut down the Keystone Pipeline, and that's going to cause shortages as well. This is, again, being done deliberately. When I say we're at war, I mean it in a very literal sense. And I've been trying to warn a lot of people, and I'm noticing that especially the younger ones, they just don't have a historical frame of reference to put this in, so they don't really get it. They don't understand what they're faced with because they've never had to deal with anything like this. I remember when I was a kid, a little kid, I guess it might have been about 1976 or somewhere around there, and I remember being in the back of my father's car waiting an hour and a half to get gas during those manufactured shortages back then. But what's coming now is going to be a lot worse. I watched the fuel prices jump up 25 cents overnight. So we're seeing a lot of inflation at the pumps here. I know in the UK it's the same thing. And apparently in the UK there's a shortage of truck drivers as well. So it's not a shortage of goods. Like I said, there's estimated 500,000 containers off the coast of California, off of Long Beach and Los Angeles, which these ports out in California account for roughly one-third of all of the imports into the United States. And off the East Coast, we've got an estimated 85,000 containers. So, like I've been warning people for the last year and a half, probably a good idea to get stocked up on canned goods, water, non-perishables, cleaning supplies, things you think you are going to need that are going to be practical in this dark winter that they've been telling us to get ready for. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is an economic war. You might consider it an embargo. You know, a trade embargo is when one country will stop the flow of commerce into another country. This is an act of war. And I think people really need to wrap their heads around what's going on because, like I say, I'm not trying to be an alarmist. But this is going to get worse because it's meant to. This is a plan. This is an agenda. The whole COVID thing was absolutely planned from the start to cause this. What we've seen over the last year and a half is the largest transfer of wealth in history.
COVID.
We've seen massive destruction to the middle class, to small businesses. And again, this is the agenda of the bankers to deliberately bring down the middle class, to deliberately collapse the economy globally, and to bring in this digital cashless system. We're in a psychological war. This is primarily how it's done, through methods of mind control. We've seen this go on for a long, long time, but with this fake pandemic,
COVID,
we've really seen an amplification of this. We've seen these front men for this consortium get on TV and absolutely gaslight people. It's become so clownish. And we should really be paying attention. We're also in an information war. We've seen this crackdown on censorship. I mean, I noticed it a decade ago, really starting, but it's really amped up over the last year and a half. And we're in an ideological war as well. We've seen these globalists kind of try to divide and rule people, the vaxxed and the unvaxxed. They do it through race. They do it through any means they can to divide the population, through political affiliation, you name it. And we're seeing this too. The worst thing we could do is allow ourselves to become more divided in a time where we need to be uniting more than ever. Again, massive labor shortages. This is a deliberate collapsing of the infrastructure. Okay, with Lord Biden,
our patience is wearing thin.
With his mandate, which is not even a mandate, nothing has gone and been passed. All we have really is a press conference that he held in which he said,
our patience is wearing thin.
Let's go, Brandon. Yeah. So we see massive, massive labor shortages. In fact, a good friend of mine, he listens to the show occasionally. He works for a Target distribution center in upstate New York. I've actually been to the facility, and let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it is gigantic. It's huge. I'm assuming that this particular facility delivers goods, supplies goods to much of the East Coast, at least New England and the tri-state area here. I mean, this place is gigantic. And he told me, he said, look, there's not a shortage. We're stocked up. It's just that we can't get them out fast enough due to a shortage of labor. Now, with Biden's fake mandate, you've seen people really push back. They're leaving their jobs. They're quitting over this. And you can't blame them. In fact, Southwest Airlines, over this last, not this last weekend, I believe it was the weekend before, canceled something like 3,000 flights because pilots are walking off the job. They don't want to get the jab. Can't blame them. We're seeing this with firefighters, medical. Our lovely governor here in New York State fired something like 70,000 healthcare workers.
God did answer our prayers.
He made them come up with a vaccine.
I need you to be my apostles.
And what she's gone and done is replace these healthcare workers with National Guard. Again, like I mentioned in the last podcast, I think part of the plan is to get people used to seeing the military everywhere, taking over private sector jobs, such as with the replacement of these healthcare workers here in New York. I mean, this is unbelievable. Are these National Guards people that are replacing these professional healthcare workers trained? Most likely not. And, you know, Boeing, the company, Boeing, the aircraft company, saw massive walkouts due to these mandates. So again, ladies and gentlemen, this is being done deliberately to collapse the infrastructure. What happens when there's a fire and there's no firefighters to come and put it out? In Chicago, Governor Beetlejuice there announced a mandate, and it was estimated that half the police force would be walking off. Now, Chicago is a war zone to begin with. When half the police force leaves, what do you think is going to happen to crime in that city? It's going to skyrocket. We're witnessing hyperinflation because of these manufactured shortages. And you know, everything is being weaponized. During these manufactured shortages, we've also seen, I've noticed this, And I know I've pointed it out in one of my talks. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, all these massive food recalls. Oh, recalls on chicken, recalls on this and that because of listeria or because of salmonella. So not only are they stopping the flow of commerce, they're actually taking stuff, recalling products. We're seeing a massive influx in immigration at the southern border. I think it's been estimated since May about 170,000 illegals crossed the border. And lo and behold, they're not mandated to take the kill shots.
Vaccinate.
Bad idea.
Nor are White House staff, members of Congress, and other groups, employees for the CDC or Pfizer, they're not mandated to take the injection. And neither are the hordes of illegals that are crossing the border. Now, isn't that something? See creepy Uncle Joe get up there, get his little placebo on a fake movie set. It's all fake, ladies and gentlemen. But, you know, now is the time to really begin to brace ourselves. And again, while you can, because I'm noticing even in the larger box stores, those shelves are half empty. So I would suggest getting your stuff stocked up before hyperinflation really kicks in and before you can't do it anymore. Came across a few quotes from Thomas Jefferson that ring true today, and everyone really needs to take this into consideration. The first one I found, he said, when tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes duty. Amen. A well-informed citizenry is the best defense against tyranny. Well, we have not had a well-informed citizenry in a long, long time. What we've got is a public school system that indoctrinates kids into Marxist ideologies, teaches them to hate their own country, teaches them to hate the founders. And so you've got a misinformed population. Look at the tyranny that has arisen as a result of that. It's in your face now. Another Jefferson quote, he said, if once the people become inattentive to the public affairs, you and I and Congress and assemblies, judges and governors shall all become wolves. It seems to be the law of our general nature in spite of individual exceptions. Absolutely, absolutely true. So ladies and gentlemen, I hope that this finds you all well. Again, it's good to be spending time with you. I just have a few articles I'd like to talk about today in regard to this breakdown and a couple pieces of information regarding the latest COVID statistics, and it is kind of ugly.
I need you to be my apostles.
First article I have here is from needtoknow.news, G. Edward Griffin's site, and here's the headline. This was published October 15th. Global supply chain workers warn of system collapse and shortages of everything. Well, again, we've got 500,000 containers out off the coast of California, fully loaded. They can't get to the port to unload, to get to the railways and the trucking supply chain. And again, this is manufactured, ladies and gentlemen. The article reads in part, seafarers, truck drivers, and airline workers have endured quarantines, travel restrictions, and complex COVID-19 vaccination and testing requirements to keep stretched supply chains moving during the pandemic. But many are now reaching their breaking point, posing yet another threat to the badly tangled network of ports, container vessels, and trucking companies that move goods around the world. In an open letter Wednesday to heads of state attending the United Nations General Assembly, the International Chamber of Shipping, and other industry groups warned of a global transport system collapse if governments do not restore freedom of movement to transport workers and give them priority to receive vaccines recognized by the World Health Organization. Well, here's the thing. A lot of these workers don't want the jab, and you can't blame them. Again, many workers are just walking off the job, refusing to get injected. And, you know, you can't blame them. Global supply chains are beginning to buckle as 2 years' worth of strain on transport workers take their toll, the group wrote. The letter has also been signed by the International Air Transport Association, the International Road Transport Union, and the International Transport Workers Federation. Together, they represent 65 million transport workers globally. All transport sectors are also seeing a shortage of workers and expect more to leave as a result of the poor treatment millions have faced during the pandemic, putting the supply chain under greater threat. Again, this is an agenda, ladies and gentlemen. This is part of the plan to collapse the global economy, to further bring the wealth of the world into the hands of these few ruling oligarchs, and to usher in a more restrictive system of cashless society. And this has been on the agenda for a long, long time. Fragile supply chains that will heap pressure on stretched supply chains and could, for example, worsen current challenges with food and fuel supply in the United Kingdom. We've seen that in the United Kingdom, massive fuel shortages. We're going to see it here too. The global supply chain is very fragile and depends as much on a seafarer from the Philippines as it does on a truck driver to deliver the goods, added Stephen Cotton, ITF Secretary General. The time has come for heads of government to respond to these workers' needs. I wouldn't hold my breath on that. They want to bring this down. None of us knew how long it would go on for, the 28-year-old chief officer of a car-carrying ship told CNN Business. I know that some companies, I believe Ford Motor Company, is stopping production because they cannot get necessary parts. Farmers cannot get tires for their tractors. We've seen incentives of governments paying farmers to actually destroy their crops. We've seen ranchers destroy animals and just leave them to rot because they could not get them to market. So this is, ladies and gentlemen, this is getting out of hand. Like I said, when I saw those shelves half empty, and I'm not talking last year or a year and a half ago when this first started,
COVID.
I noticed that it was a lot of cleaning supplies, toilet paper, things like that. Not even so much canned goods back then, but what I saw Sunday at the Supercenter, it was unbelievable. I'm talking all departments were maybe halfway stocked, including the grocery department. So there's, you know, there's a massive shortage. I've been talking to grocery workers, not just the people I know. I know one gentleman up here who works in groceries. He's saying, yeah, we're getting maybe 60% of our order. That was a month ago. My friend down in North Carolina also works in that industry, saying, yeah, we're not getting our full orders. And wherever I go into the supermarket, I was in an Aldi not long ago, maybe 2 weeks. I was looking for chicken wings, which used to be abundant. And I turned to the employee who was stocking the shelf. I said, is there a shortage on chicken wings? She goes, there's a shortage on everything, sir. There's a shortage on chicken. There's a shortage on pork, beef. Look at the prices. How much they've skyrocketed, ladies and gentlemen. It's unbelievable. All right, next article I have here is from Zero Hedge. Here's the headline. Over 1,000 crew members are stranded on abandoned cargo ships globally without pay or food. Well, isn't that lovely? They won't let them port and unload the goods. And these longshoremen are out there starving because they can't get paid and they can't get food. Unbelievable. Reads in part, pandemic-driven global trade disruptions and an increasing number of shipping companies abandon their own vessels over mounting debts, including older vessels deemed too costly to repair, has led to the rise in the phenomenon of crew members simply being abandoned at sea, often left to fend for themselves as they await pay, which sometimes never comes. A Friday investigative report in the Wall Street Journal has detailed some of the shocking stories of tanker crew members left adrift after companies abandoned vessels or sold or transferred them or couldn't pay mounting debts while trying to survive, oftentimes on little food, even while moored close to resort locations in places like Dubai or in other cases floating off the Suez Canal or at Black Sea ports. The $14 trillion shipping industry, responsible for 90% of world trade, has left in its wake what appears to be a record number of cargo ship castaways, the report begins. Abandonment cases are counted when ship owners fail to pay crews 2 or more months in wages or don't cover the cost to send crew members home, according to the International Maritime Organization, a United Nations agency. The UN agency recorded a doubling in the number of abandonment cases for 2020, with the number expected to grow once again for 2021, particularly after a noticeable surge in cases now getting media attention. WSJ cites the Industry Labor Union International Transport Workers Federation to detail that over 1,000 international crew members are currently abandoned. but the report assures the true number of those left aboard container ships and bulk carriers whose transport operations have been halted is likely way higher, given individual crew members' reluctance to come forward for fear of not getting hired by other freight companies. They're destroying it, destroying this industry, ladies and gentlemen, deliberately. You know, communists love to create famine, and that's what's going on. Though most of those who effectively overnight became castaways choose to stay aboard abandoned ships until they get paid, in many cases they legally cannot disembark, even if they wanted to, due to complex local laws dictating policies of many ports. Yeah, so leave them stranded and let them starve, huh? Some governments require sailors to remain aboard as guarantors until ship owners pay port authorities for berth fees and other charges. Like I mentioned just a minute ago, the fees have jumped up from, say, $2,500 to, like, $20,000. So what's going to happen to these longshoremen? More often, sailors refuse to disembark, convinced they will never recoup months or years of lost wages if they leave. Seafarers stuck on board generally borrow money from friends and family to feed themselves and crewmates. Many say they will stay put until the ship is sold for scrap, which can take years, rather than go home empty-handed. I'll leave that one there, ladies and gentlemen. Just a reminder, if you're on the Podbean platform listening, if you go to DougMichaelTruth.com, to the right, just underneath the audio player is a big tab titled View the Show Links. You could click that, and everything that I'm sourcing will be listed there. Yeah, I usually do put a couple of videos on the site as well, and some memes and things like this. So go ahead and check out DougMichaelTruth.com. And if you go back through the archives, for the last 19 months, this topic in particular, you'll see a ton of sources, and it could keep you busy for quite a while. Next piece I have, also from Zero Hedge, posted Friday, October 15th. Here's the headline. Pete Buttigieg enjoys second month of paternity leave as supply chain crisis worsens. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is the U.S. Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg. He's on his second month of paid paternity leave, leaving an empty post as the Biden supply chain crisis spirals further out of control.
Our patience is wearing thin.
According to Politico, Buttigieg's office told West Wing Playbook that the secretary has actually been on paid leave since mid-August to spend time with his husband, Chasen, and their two newborn babies. For the first 4 weeks, he was mostly offline, except for major agency decisions and matters that could not be delegated. Okay, this is the transportation secretary, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a supply chain breakdown. And what does he do? Go on vacation. The failed 2020 presidential candidate will continue to take some time over the coming weeks to support his husband and take care of his new children. Well, lovely. That said, while Pete hasn't been able to resolve the dozens of container ships currently stuck off the coast of California, and the East Coast too, ladies and gentlemen, he has been making the rounds on cable TV, appearing on MSNBC, CNBC, CNN, Bloomberg, and NPR, and attended a high-profile meeting with President Biden to discuss the supply chain catastrophe.
Our patience is wearing thin.
In addition to shortages, the ongoing supply chain disruptions have caused prices to rise, of course, which, of course, affects lower-income families the most, with the cost of some children's toys having risen as much as 10% ahead of the holiday season, according to the Toy Association. That's another thing, ladies and gentlemen. You might want to do your Christmas shopping real soon because you're not going to be able to find anything. And I had this thought, you know, each Black Friday, all over the place from different locations, we can always read dozens of stories of people beating the shit out of each other to obtain some worthless, useless, made-in-China trinket that they don't really need, you know, to make their kids happy or whatever. Now, what are these animals going to do when the stores are at half capacity or less? You're going to see blood flow this year on Black Friday, I believe. I mean, we do every year when the stores are stocked to capacity. What's it going to be like this year? Get ready. Get your stuff early. And while people are out there worrying about trinkets, Christmas presents and stuff, I think it would be a better idea to get, I don't know, canned goods, rice, pasta, water, cleaning supplies, camping gear, whatever, again, that you think might be practical in your situation. The article goes on, it's hitting us at the worst time of the year, which is the holidays. Meanwhile, top toy executive Isaac Larian of MG Entertainment told Fox News on Thursday that whether the ports are open 24 hours a day or 48 hours a day, you cannot get labor. If you cannot get labor, you cannot get trucks, you cannot get the merchandise out. As we noted, the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach are point of entry for 40% of all U.S. containerized goods. More than 80 container ships are at anchor and 64 at berths across the Twin Ports. The backlog doesn't stop there, as it takes well more than a week for entry into the port. Once the containers are unloaded, it takes another week to leave the port to warehouses. Unfortunately, for poor families struggling to afford basic needs this year amid horrendous inflation, the U.S. Transportation Secretary is missing in action. Right. Mm-hmm. Get ready, ladies and gentlemen. This is a controlled demolition. This is a planned destruction of the supply chain. This is economic war. The next piece I have here. Law Enforcement Today. This was posted October 14th. The headline, Bidenflation costs of heating fuel, eggs, meat, fish, peanut butter, and baby food all skyrocketing. I'm getting a visit from I have a tuxedo cat here named Augustus, and he often likes to jump on my lap when I'm doing this, and he just came to say hello. Sorry for the distraction. All right, this article reads in part, USA, let's go, Brandon. Buyer's remorse yet, America? Joe Biden, the one-man pandemic, may have promised to not raise taxes for anyone making under $400,000 a year, but there are other hidden taxes that all Americans are getting nailed with on a daily basis, otherwise known as inflation.
Our patience is wearing thin.
Breitbart reported that the price of food exploded by 1.2% in September alone, a huge gain for only a single month, and three times August's inflation rate. Year over year, the Department of Labor's Consumer Price Index showed that food prices is up 4.6% over last year at this time. It's only going to get higher, ladies and gentlemen, as we see this supply chain breakdown increase. Despite the Biden administration and his flacks in the media claiming base effects inflation, the data disputes that. Base effects inflation shows a large price jump due to depressed prices in the past. 1 year ago, prices were also increasing with food at home, showing a 4.1% increase compared with September 2019. Pre-pandemic prices of food at home are up 8.8%. No sectors in the grocery budget were left untouched, with all six major food group categories showing steep price increases. For example, the index for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs rose 2.2% over the past month and 10.5% over 1 year ago. In September, the index for fruits and vegetables rose 0.6%, up over the 0.2% August increase. Meanwhile, the index for cereals and bakery products rose 1.1% over the month and 2.7% over the past year. What exactly are some of those jumps on an annual basis? Ground beef up 10.6%, steaks up 22.1%, bacon up 19.3%, pork roast rib steaks up 19.2%, chicken up 17.1%, fresh fish up 10.7%, eggs up 12.6%, peanut butter up 6.2%, apples 7.8%, ham 7%, baby food 4.4%. Eating out has also gotten more expensive. Indexes for restaurant meals, which include dine-in and fast food eateries, rose 0.6% in September. Full service or dine-in meals are up 5.2% compared with last September, while limited service or fast food meals are up 6.7%. And meanwhile, on top of that, Americans should be bracing for skyrocketing home heating bills this winter, right? Dark winter. According to the Climate Change Dispatch, energy prices are soaring worldwide for heating oil, natural gas, and other fuels. Wednesday, the federal government said households should expect to see heating bills increase by as much as 54% over last winter. You know, having a generator might not be a bad idea, but you're also going to need a means to store diesel fuel. Solar generators are great, but you can't use them when there's no sunlight. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think that time is wearing thin to really start to get prepared. For those who heat their homes with natural gas, which accounts for around half of all U.S. households, those users are looking at a 30% increase this year, or an average bill of about $746. If that happens, heating bills this winter would be the highest since the winter of 2008-2009. for those who use electricity to heat their homes, which is about 41% of the country, they would see a more modest increase of around 6%, or an average cost of $1,268. Home heating oil, which accounts for 4% of the country's homes, is looking at a 43% increase to an average of $1,734, or an over $500 increase. With forecasts calling for a slightly colder winter, people will be using more fuel to heat their homes. Any type of prolonged cold snap, such as a polar vortex, would drive the above costs even higher. The outlet also noted that average household earnings are not keeping pace with inflation, with average hourly wages going up 4.6% over last September. Low-income households will be the hardest hit if heating costs increase. Natural gas currently sits at the highest price in 7 years and has nearly doubled over the past year. Home heating oil, conversely, has more than doubled. Sure, because with the supply chain breakdown and not being able to get, with this stoppage of commerce, this is what's going to happen. It's inevitable. One driver of natural gas prices is strong European demand and limited supplies, which have increased the cost of natural gas in Europe to explode 350% this year. That is putting pressure on the U.S. market as domestic natural gas is being sold internationally, increasing upward pressure on domestic U.S. natural gas prices. Heating oil is primarily used in the Northeast. However, the percentage of homes using heating oil has dropped from 27% to 18% over the past decade as more people have converted to the cheaper alternative, natural gas. Buckle up, America. Biden's in charge, and that's not a good thing. Okay, now on to the
COVID.
We will eliminate you.
Vaccinate.
Bad idea.
COVID.
God did answer our prayers. He made them come up with a vaccine.
We will eliminate you.
On to the COVID news, ladies and gentlemen. Just a couple more pieces. I'll do a short one today. This is from Natural News. This was posted October 8th. Here's the headline. Most vaccinated state in America now seeing massive surge in COVID hospitalizations. Just like we told you was going to happen a year and a half ago, that you were going to see this, the people that got their jabs start to get sick and die. Despite the fact that about 88% of its population is now, quote, fully vaccinated for the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19,
COVID.
Vermont is seeing a massive surge in new hospitalizations for the disease. Reports indicate that a heavy spike like this has not been seen since the peak of the pandemic last winter, proving that the injections, which Donald, father of the vaccine Trump,
we will eliminate you,
his own words, proudly brought to the world at warp speed, are not working to, quote, flatten the curve. I think it's clearly frustrating for all of us, lamented Michael Pisiak, commissioner of the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation, which monitors virus statistics for the state. Right now, the number of hospitalization cases in Vermont is almost at record levels. The state recorded September as its second deadliest month, and October might set a new record. This is all in spite of the fact that almost everyone in Vermont has taken both of the shots recommended to them by Tony Fauci, and many have also gotten their third Biden booster shot as well.
Surprise outbreak.
COVID. Tony Fauci, the good doctor.
If the jabs really worked as claimed, Vermont would be the healthiest state in the nation right now. Instead, Vermont is fast becoming the sickest state in the country. The state recorded the highest rate of hospitalizations per 100,000 residents on September 30th, breaching a record set on January 31st, 2020, reported the Epoch Times. 8 people reportedly died of the CCP, Communist Chinese Party virus, in Vermont on September 13th, the highest total record in the state so far.
An epidemic.
COVID.
Fully vaccinated Massachusetts, Maine, Connecticut, all seeing similar spike in hospitalization deaths. Some 90 employees from the Vermont Health Department signed a letter back in late August admitting that the number of new cases of the Chinese virus has been steadily rising among the fully vaccinated. That's because this is a weapon. Ladies and gentlemen, the alleged vaccine, which is not a vaccine at all, it's a fucking bioweapon. And I really wish people would begin to understand when I say we're at war, I mean that quite literally. We're in a biological war, an economic war, an ideological war, a psychological war. And like I said, These totalitarian globalists love to use food as a weapon. Very few unvaccinated people in Vermont are testing positive and getting sick. In other words, the vast majority of all new sicknesses and deaths there are occurring in people who obeyed Fauci and other politicians and took the jabs. Absolutely. And this article goes on. Ladies and gentlemen, again, it will be posted on the DougMichaelTruth.com website under View the Show Links tab, which is to the right under the audio player. You can't miss it. And I suggest you do that. Take a look at these sources. Go back through the archives. Each episode will have plenty of links that you could research for yourself and get, you know, a broad understanding of what's occurring here.
COVID.
Bring out your dead.
We will eliminate you.
Vaccinate.
Bad idea.
Take higher. Put the fucking mask on your fucking face.
Our patience is wearing thin.
Next piece I have here is from RT. This was posted October 8th. The headline, Iceland stops use of Moderna's COVID vaccine for all ages over heart inflammation concerns. Yes, this has been reported widely, ladies and gentlemen, that young people receiving the jab and older people alike are getting heart inflammation, blood clots, all kinds of adverse negative reactions to these untested biological agents. Reads in part, Iceland will no longer administer Moderna's mRNA COVID-19 vaccine, with the country's chief epidemiologist citing the risk of rare heart inflammation seen in other Nordic countries. The announcement was made by Icelandic health authorities on Friday. Officials stated that Iceland has been administering Moderna's Spikevax shot over the last 2 months as a booster for those already inoculated with either two shots of the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines or one shot of J&J's jab. Some 75% of Icelanders are fully vaccinated, and health officials maintain that there is a sufficient supply of Pfizer's vaccine to continue the rollout without the Moderna shots. Pfizer's is already recommended for under 18s in Iceland. Yeah, get the kids. The decision to halt Moderna vaccinations was made after adverse effects to the shot were noticed in several other Nordic nations, which have since restricted their own rollouts of the jab. A Nordic study involving Finland, Sweden, Norway, and Denmark found that men under the age of 30 who received Moderna Spikevax had a slightly higher risk than others of developing myocarditis. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll leave that one there too. That'll be posted on the website as well for you to read. This is unbelievable. The true bioweapon is this shot. far be it for me to tell anyone what they should do. You know, my point is that if you trust any one of these people, these frontmen for this consortium, you might want to rethink your position, you know. And again, I wouldn't tell someone what they should or shouldn't put in their body, but I will say I will never be taking that shit, ever. Next piece I have is from The Defender. This is from October 8th as well. The headline, reports of serious injuries after COVID vaccines near 112,000 as Pfizer asks FDA to green light shots for kids 5 to 11. Who would go and get their child fake vaccinated, when the survival rate is 99.87% according to their own numbers? Only someone crippled by fear and propaganda. Reads in part, VAERS data released Friday by the CDC included a total of 778,685 reports of adverse events from all age groups following COVID vaccines, including 16,310 deaths and 111,921 serious injuries between December 14, 2020 and October 1, 2021. I'll remind you, ladies and gentlemen, the VAERS system, vaccine adverse events recording system attached to the CDC, at the very most, you'll get 10% cases reported. Doctors and other health professionals are discouraged from reporting vaccine injuries, and yet reports have coming out all over the place of nurses and other healthcare workers saying, we are seeing those who are vaccine damaged coming in here. Well, of course. So those numbers, you multiply those by 10, and you've got a far more accurate number, and it's probably way higher than that.
I need you to be my apostles.
Data released Friday by the CDC showed that between December 14th, 2020 and October 1st, 2021, a total of 778,685 adverse events following the vaccines were reported to VAERS. Again, ladies and gentlemen, a reminder, only a fraction of those are ever reported. I mean, this is incredible. Excluding foreign reports filed in VAERS, 593,728 adverse events, including 7,437 deaths and 47,455 serious injuries, were reported in the U.S. between December 14th, 2020, and October 1st, 2021. Of the 7,437 United States deaths reported as of October 1st, 11% occurred within 24 hours of vaccination, 16% occurred within 48 hours, and 29% occurred in people who experienced an onset of symptoms within 48 hours of being vaccinated. In the U.S., 393.4 million COVID vaccine doses had been administered as of October 1st. This includes 227 million doses of Pfizer, 152 of Moderna, and 15 million doses of Johnson & Johnson.
COVID, bring out your dead!
And this article contains charts where you could look at the numbers, ladies and gentlemen. So I'll leave that one there. You can take a look for yourself. I mean, this is unbelievable. I'll just read a little piece of this. This is from the VAERS data from that time frame just mentioned. 19% of deaths were related to cardiac disorders. 56% of those who died were male, 43% female, and the remaining death reports did not include gender of the deceased. The average age of death was 72. Of the 2,935 cases of Bell's palsy reported, 50% were attributed to Pfizer vaccines, 42% to Moderna, and 8% to J&J. 648 reports of Guillain-Barré syndrome, that's a nasty neurological reaction, with 40% of cases attributed to Pfizer, 32% to Moderna, 28% to J&J. 1,976 reports of anaphylaxis, where the reaction was life-threatening, required treatment, or resulted in death. It goes on, ladies and gentlemen, this is unbelievable. Why would anyone in their right mind go and take an untested biological agent because they're afraid to catch the flu?
Vaccinate.
Bad idea.
We will eliminate you.
Vaccinate. An epidemic.
Last piece I have for today, ladies and gentlemen. This is from the expose. Breaking. Official data shows the risk of death due to COVID-19 increases by 69% among 18 to 29-year-olds who've been fully vaccinated.
COVID.
Bring out your dead!
Unbelievable. Regent Park, COVID-19 has disproportionately affected the elderly and vulnerable with other underlying conditions, and data shows that the risk of death due to COVID-19 ranges from minuscule to negligible for the under 50s prior to the availability of a COVID-19 injection. This makes the latest official data on COVID-19 extremely concerning because it shows the risk of death due to COVID-19 for people between the ages of 18 and 29 due to the COVID-19 increases if they have been fully vaccinated. The latest vaccine surveillance report published by Public Health England's new sinister replacement, the UK Health Security Agency, has so far revealed that 80% of COVID-19 deaths in September 2021 were among the fully vaccinated population, and that the COVID-19 vaccines currently have negative effectiveness as low as minus 86% among the over 30s. And now a further investigation into the published data has revealed that the risk of death due to COVID-19 increases by 69% among 18 to 29-year-olds who have been fully vaccinated. I'll leave that there too, ladies and gentlemen. You can scroll through, look at the data for yourself. This one's, you know, not too long, but the charts are there and the data is there. And this is incredible. They're killing us, okay? The vaccine's a kill shot. I mean, if someone wants to be a guinea pig for big pharmaceutical companies and take an untested biological gene-altering serum, you go right ahead. But you see what they're doing now. Buttigieg, the transport secretary I mentioned earlier, basically is suggesting that until everyone gets the jab, the supply chain will not, you know, go back to full capacity. So then what's going to happen, as has been happening, they're going to blame us, the hesitant, the ones who will never be receiving that shit. They're going to start blaming us. Well, if you would just get your shot, then we could have the supply chain. Bullshit. It's just another divide and rule technique, you know. And get ready, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I don't mean to be an alarmist. I'm a realist. I see what's going on. I've been to the gas station. I've been to the food stores. I've been to the super centers. I see what's occurring. So Now, with the run-up to the holidays coming up, I would suggest get your stuff now. And for me personally, I'm way more focused on stuff that I could eat. Maybe things you don't think of, like vitamins, cleaning supplies, stuff like that. So that's where I'm at. I'm in preparation mode. I've been doing so for quite a while. It's not that hard. Every time you go, you know, shopping for your regular groceries, get a whole bunch of canned goods, stuff you like, stuff that's not going to spoil. I recommend having supplies of vitamin C, because within a collapse, when you can't get fresh fruit, vegetables, produce, you know, you don't want to come down with scurvy. So vitamin C, all kinds of vitamins, D, zinc, you know, whatever you normally use, but I would definitely stock up on that too. Medical supplies, again, whatever you think is going to be practical in your situation, means of self-defense. You know, if you've got property where you can store diesel fuel, perhaps a generator and some diesel fuel storage units, you know, things like this. Again, approach it from a practical point of view and not a fear-based mindset. And, you know, maybe we could ride the storm. But it's going to get a hell of a lot worse, ladies and gentlemen, because it's designed to. We're dealing with an agenda. These globalists are making their moves. They're pulling out all the stops. Once tyrants do this and make their moves like this, they don't pull back. They don't just say, we'll give you your freedom back. It just doesn't work that way. And I feel bad for these young ones that have no historical frame of reference, that just don't understand what's occurring, because they're going to be in for a real rude awakening, and it's coming soon and swiftly. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for joining me and taking your time to listen with an open mind. I greatly appreciate it. Big shout out to the very few readers, listeners, and patrons, the handful of people that give me their time and attention. I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I really do hope that you're all keeping well amidst all this insanity, and preparing your mind, preparing your emotions, preparing for physical needs to be met as well as the collapse accelerates, ladies and gentlemen. So thank you once again for joining me. Stay tuned for the usual Trigger Board fanfare. Y'all take great care. And until next time, this is Doug. Walk in peace.
Our patience is wearing thin.
An epidemic.
COVID.
An epidemic.
Surprise outbreak.
An epidemic.
Surprise outbreak.
COVID.
Bring out today.
God did answer. God did answer our prayers.
He made them come up with a vaccine.
Vaccinate.
I need you to be my apostle.
We will eliminate you.
Vaccinate.
Put the fucking mask on your fucking face.
Our patience is wearing thin. Our patience is wearing thin.
COVID.
Bring out today.
Surprise outbreak.
An epidemic.
Surprise outbreak.
COVID. An epidemic.
Surprise outbreak.
COVID. An epidemic.
I need you to be my apostles.